Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Our text for today is Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, and here's what it says. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, in a nutshell, what we have here is the importance of identifying and avoiding those professing Christian teachers whose doctrine is dangerous, and whose motives are self-serving. We are dealing with what some would call the doctrine of biblical separation. And that's a term that is familiar to some, depending upon your background, and a term which may be foreign to others, likewise depending upon your background. Biblical separation, a concept which is strongly championed by some of God's people, reviled by others of God's people, ignored by many of God's people, and often misunderstood and misapplied by various ones of God's people. And I'm convinced that this, like every other doctrine in the Bible, needs to be carefully examined because there is a correct understanding and application. In other words, there is such a doctrine, and we find it here in our text. And there are also areas of misunderstanding and misapplication concerning this teaching. But that there is such a doctrine as biblical separation, or whatever you want to call it, that amounts to the same thing, our text in Romans 16, 17, and 18 makes abundantly clear. And so what I want to do is to examine this text as carefully as we can and see what it says and how it applies to us today. So let's first of all consider the nature of this exhortation, and I begin by making note of its location. Obviously, in Romans 16, the last chapter of the book of Romans, and it comes after 16 verses of warm greetings. And it seems like a rather abrupt transition from these warm personal greetings to a strong warning. It almost seems overly abrupt, out of place. Does it really belong here in this chapter? Does it really belong in this epistle? Of course, only those who have doubts about the inspiration, authority, and infallibility of God's Word would raise questions like that. But there are those who conclude that just because this text is jarringly different from the verses that precede it, that it could not be genuine, in spite of all textual evidence to the contrary. And as far as I can tell, there is no textual evidence that would even suggest that these verses were not included in Paul's original epistle to the Romans. And so people who talk like that are actually revealing more about themselves than they are about the book of Romans. But it is true that this is an abrupt change. Verses 17 and 18, with this strong warning about avoiding people, follows 16 verses of warm greetings and unity building. It follows many statements promoting love and unity within the body of Christ, which I'm convinced is precisely why it is needed at this very point, because though there is biblical teaching regarding love and unity in the body of Christ, that does not override the need for guarding against those things and those people that would destroy Christian doctrine and therefore true Christian unity. In other words, if you love truth, you must hate error. If you love believers, you must hate whatever is a threat to the spiritual health and well-being of God's people. If you love sinners, you have to hate whatever threatens to deceive them and keep them in the bondage of sin. And so it's eminently sensible and appropriate, after 16 verses of warm greetings and expressions of love and Christian unity, to say, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." Now please note that though this is a strong warning, it is not a harsh warning. It is actually a tender appeal. "Now I urge you, brethren." "I beseech you, brethren," is the way the original King James puts it. "I beg of you, please, brethren," may be a more literal rendition of what Paul is saying. So, it is a very warm and tender exhortation as far as its relationship to the body of Christ is concerned, but it is warning God's people to watch out for those who are a threat to the truth, to the gospel, to the people of God, to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what are the requirements of this particular exhortation? And there are basically two things that are required. Number one, mark, and number two, avoid. Verse 17 again, "Now I urge you, brethren, note or mark those who create divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." So there are two actions required by the people of God toward certain individuals who are clearly identified in verse 17. Number one, we are to note them, mark them. This is more than simply identify them. This means watch out for them, be vigilant, looking for them. It's not if they happen to come along and intrude themselves into your peaceful situation that, well, then you'll have to take some kind of action to identify them. But this word means that you need to be looking out for them. There's something about us that doesn't particularly relish doing that, I don't think. Because we don't want to have a suspicious nature. We don't want to have to always be looking for what may be wrong. But faithfulness to God and to His Word and concern for His truth and His people require that we do exactly that. We must be like soldiers who are constantly on guard. Constantly on guard duty. That's what Paul is requiring of us. Keep an eye on, or keep an eye out for, and scrutinize carefully those who might seem to fit into this category. Scope them, is the way one translation puts it. The word actually is scopeo, and that means to observe with intensity. It has the idea of a telescope or a microscope. And when you use a telescope or a microscope, you're examining something very carefully. I can look at something on the table in front of me and might give it a passing glance, but if I really want to examine it, I will have to scoop it up and put it on a slide and stick it under a microscope. Then I can really examine it carefully, thoughtfully, intensely. Or I can glance up in the sky and see the heavenly bodies and marvel at what I see and then go on without examining them carefully. Or I can take a little more time, get out a telescope, peer intently into the sky, and really examine what is there. And this word, translated note in my Bible, has the idea of examining as through a telescope or under a microscope. Examine like a watchman in the tower. Observe, evaluate, and either admit or deny admittance, like a gatekeeper. You've got to stand on guard and examine everyone who applies for admission and make a determination as to whether they ought to be admitted or they ought to be denied. And if you find someone who must be denied, then you need to warn people inside that somebody tried to get in who is an enemy, who's a threat to the community. And they may try again. Since they didn't gain admission through the main gate, they may try to climb over the wall. Mark them. And secondly, avoid them. I urge you, brethren, mark or note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. A word that means turn aside from them. Turn away from them. Keep aloof from them. Shun them. In other words, they are not to be admitted into the church. They are not to be admitted into Christian fellowship. They are not to be considered Christians. They are not to be considered our brothers in Christ. We are not to welcome them. We are not to warmly greet them. No holy kiss for them. You see, verse 17 follows verse 16. Verse 16 said, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Why? Because you must not support or encourage their activity by giving them a warm welcome, by offering them Christian fellowship and Christian identity, because you must not be corrupted by their error, and you must be concerned about the potential of others being corrupted by their error, which is more likely if they are given a Christian greeting, a Christian welcome, admittance into the Christian church, the Christian fellowship. This is important so that we do not confuse others regarding their character. If they are people who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, you must note them, you must identify them as counterfeits, as not true believers in Jesus Christ, not true teachers of the Word of God, and you must avoid them, not live in some kind of comradeship, jovial comradeship with them. Now that kind of instruction is so foreign to many people today that they act like they've never heard it before, like it doesn't exist, like they didn't know anything like that is in the Bible. But actually, this is not the only time you find instructions like this in the New Testament. Maybe we'll take some time tomorrow or the day after to look at some of the other similar exhortations, but for now, let it suffice to say, this one's here. It's very clear. How many times does God have to say something before we believe it and act upon it? He should only have to say it one time. And since He did say it here, and what He says is pretty clear, we cannot be obedient servants of the Lord Jesus Christ if we deny this text, if we ignore this text, if we simply choose not to obey this text, if we think we've got more wisdom than God does on this subject. Let us be wise. Let us be obedient. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.